wanted to remind you that we're having a contest in January where you can win a Raised Sports t-shirt. All you have to do is go to our page on Apple Podcasts, give us a 5-star rating, write a little review, email a screenshot of that review to us at raisedsports@gmail.com, and at the end of the month, we'll draw a name out of a hat. Winner gets a shirt. Thanks for helping us out. Late last year, the editor-in-chief of FanSided reached out to me, asking me if I'd be interested in writing a story about how certain people might be more susceptible to getting CTE based on their genetics. Pretty interesting topic for sure, and every once in a while you'll see a headline somewhere pop up saying something about this research group or that research group linking a particular gene to CTE. But aside from these one-off stories, there hasn't been a whole lot written on the topic as a whole in the mainstream media. So, of course, I jumped at the opportunity. The story is live on fansided.com right now, so I'd encourage you to please head on over there and read it. Meanwhile, let's talk here about some of the things I learned. When I took on this assignment, I wanted to do two main things. First, I wanted to get into the science of it and find out what we really know. Are there any genes that are confirmed to be linked to CTE? Secondly, I wanted to put a human face on this. What do athletes think of this? Are they aware of the issue and are they actively doing anything about it? Now, I want to tackle the second part first. Obviously, I can't talk to every athlete, but I picked one in particular because of his background and his life experience. So I reached out to Xander Diamant, and he agreed to talk to me. Xander is interesting for a number of reasons. First of all, he was a high-level player, a star quarterback at Venice High School in Los Angeles, who went on to play in the Big Ten. He was a backup at Indiana University. Secondly, he's interesting to me because he quit football pretty much in his prime, walking away after his junior season at Indiana because, in his words, he wanted to save his brain. Now, a little about Xander here. He was a bit of a trash talker. He's also the son of soap opera star Don Diamant. Now, that's not necessarily pertinent to his football story, but when you picture this backup quarterback from LA, the son of an actor who runs around talking trash in practice, you can see how some friction might develop with the coach at the time, Kevin Wilson. And eventually it did lead to a situation where Xander was put in a vulnerable position.
You know, I would run around quite a bit in practice. I mean, literally running the ball. And I was also very loud and, you know, not in an obnoxious way, but I was very competitive. So at some point he just said, fuck it. If you want to keep running around and you want to talk shit, then I'm going to let everyone hit you, which, again, there's no logic there. But so I started taking hits in practice, which is not the norm for a quarterback. And there was this one day over, I believe it was the summer going into that final season, where the training camp going into that season, I got hit. And I just didn't feel right. And it wasn't even that big of a hit. And I was like, man, this is, you know, this is strange. I don't like this.
Another interesting thing about Xander is that even though he was very aware of the dangers of his sport, he loves it. He also advises his younger brother, Luca, who is currently a hot recruit himself at Venice High and who is weighing several scholarship offers. So Xander was fascinating to talk to. Because he has very nuanced thoughts on football and brain injuries, he's a complicated guy, and this is a complicated issue. On one hand, Xander doesn't think anyone should play tackle football before junior high school, which is when he started. He just doesn't see the point of it. But on the other hand, he loved the contact, even though it caused him eventually to quit early. He also thinks everyone should be tested for genes that make you more susceptible to concussions, or CTE. And if you test positive, he believes you should quit. He says he and his brother were both tested for what he called a concussion gene. They both came back clean, otherwise he says they wouldn't have played.
If you have a gene that makes you more susceptible to concussions, and you're playing a sport that puts you in a position to get concussions on a daily basis, you shouldn't play football. With that being said, if you don't have it, absolutely, if you want to play, you play.
But Xander was a little fuzzy on what exactly he had been tested for. And there's a reason for that, which we'll get into in a second. The bottom line is that Xander is a firm believer in genetic predisposition for CTE, and he thinks football players should look into it, test for certain genes, and decide whether or not to play based on how the tests come back. This is a little bit problematic, though, and it brings me to the other part of this that I wanted to get into, the science. What do we know about genes and CTE? You see these headlines pop up every so often, and people tend to get a little excited about them. There was one on CNN.com back in November. It said, quote, "Why do some people get CTE? It may be in their genes," end quote. That story was about a study out of the Boston University Chronic Traumatic Encephalopathy Center that looked into one gene in particular called TMEM106B. I spoke with Dr. Jesse Mez, who was co-author of the study.
So in the TMEM study, we did not see a relationship between TMEM and risk of disease, meaning when we compared cases of CTE to controls, those without CTE. But we did see among those with CTE that the genetic variant was associated with more severe pathology. So it seems to increase risk for severe disease among those who have the disease, but it doesn't seem to be associated with risk of getting the disease.
You can see already why the headline is a little problematic. It hints at a genetic connection that has been found, but the connection isn't really there. What Dr. Mez says is that they found the gene might be connected to more severe cases of CTE in athletes who already have it, but it's not connected to actually getting CTE. In fact, he says there is no firm evidence that any individual gene is linked to CTE. To get a second opinion, I reached out to a group out of the University of Toronto, headed by Dr. Charles Tator. I chose them because they have been at times kind of skeptical or even critical of the work out of Boston University. But when one of their doctors, Carmen Tartaglia, responded to some of my questions in an email, she pretty much repeated the words of Dr. Mez, saying, quote, "So far, there is no evidence that there are genetic mutations that cause CTE." And the researchers from Boston and Toronto are not alone. It seems to be pretty widely accepted in the science community that we just don't know what gene or genes, if any, make someone more likely to get CTE. Just last fall, there was a published paper from the University of California, San Francisco, that looked at a host of studies that sought out genetic links to CTE. They found 19 of these studies dating back to 1966. Only 8 of them focused on sports, and only 4 of those 8 found any kind of association, leading researchers to conclude that the evidence is equivocal or vague. So, just for kicks, I reached out to 23andMe.com, a business that sells genetic tests online, both for ancestry and health purposes. I figured if anyone would want to sell me on the importance of genetic testing for CTE, it would be a business like this. But they didn't even want to touch it. A spokesperson told me in an email that 23andMe is, quote, "not well positioned to comment on this topic," end quote. One more thing I'd like to point out about all of this is the ethical question behind genetic testing. Dr. Mez brought this up to me, and I thought it was interesting. And the argument is basically this. If a doctor suggests a football player should be tested for a CTE gene, and that test were to come back negative, does that mean that the player has been given tacit approval to participate in a dangerous activity? He compared it to smoking, like if you were to test negative for a gene that makes you more likely to get lung cancer, that doesn't necessarily mean you should smoke all you want. It's still bad for you.
The comparison between smoking and football, you know, football certainly has benefits. The, you know, the team, you know, playing on a team, the cardiovascular health related things, but hitting your head repeatedly is obviously not a good thing. So it gets complicated ethically as to whether it's truly a good idea to do genetic testing in the setting of contact sport play. But we're not there yet.
So you can see that the issue is complicated and confusing. It's understandable why an athlete might see a story about genetics and CTE and think that they have found a way to gain some peace of mind before they take the field. But the fact is that at this point, while most researchers believe there probably is a genetic makeup that makes one more susceptible to CTE, they don't yet know what it is. Remember, We have about 20,000 genes, and it's probably going to be a collection of them, not just one or two, that are linked to CTE. Basically, it's an enormous haystack and a tiny needle, and we're a long way from finding any real link. Even the researchers say that. The other thing that common sense tells us is that hitting your head, no matter how you do it, is not good for your brain. That's the bottom line. So go to fansided.com and read the story. You'll hear more from Xander Diamant and from Dr. Jesse Mez. And I also delve into the history of the research a little more over there as well. Thanks for listening to this bonus episode. I'm Bob Harkins. This is Raised Sports. Have a great day.